Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is October 3rd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to Google Podcast and subscribing to MotoVitality, or also Apple Podcast, or you can go to MotoVitality.com and listen to years and years and years and years worth of them. On that note, I got to tell you, Sam, you're one of the people that did this originally, but I had somebody this last week that came up and that I had met that said that they had listened to, you know, several of the podcasts, and they were actually making some of them mandatory listening for their sales team. And this is a person that I had never met before, and I for those of you, I know that, you know, 8:30 Eastern on Thursday mornings, I'm kind of talking to those of you that are listening to this on the recording right now. I want you to know how much I appreciate the support that you guys give here as well. It's nice to hear from you. Like Chris, if you happen to catch this, you're the one who came up to me this last week at Eastern Water Quality Association. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it very much. I understand that this time is not always convenient for you. And I'm always interested to hear your feedback. And so shoot, you know, Jen or myself an email. And if there's a topic you want to hear, then please reach out and let us know. You're as valued in this community as anybody, and I really appreciate the opportunity to serve you as well. So, so those of you that are here live, though, yeah, go ahead. What was that? Somebody said something? Somebody say something? Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Yeah, I thought I heard somebody say something, but it was quiet there. So, you know, I know that there's a mute sometimes on this, and you guys, sometimes people mute themselves, and that was something that somebody pointed out to me just recently as well, was that they know that there's a delay sometimes on the, you know, they notice that. So I do appreciate you guys every once in a while jumping in and saying something, so I know I didn't drop the call and just continuing to to talk to myself. So, but anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every morning, which is every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or is there anything that we can help with? Any questions anybody has? So I wanted to, there was one thing that I've been thinking about, and we do have a guest on today, so I don't want to take up a lot of time in this because I want to have a conversation with Sam Tyler about a forum that he created that is just doing exceptionally well. So we'll talk about that in a second. But I wanted to just throw an idea out there that this one of the clients that we have, you know, we're taking a look at home show seasons because it's a little late for this year, although, again, I want to encourage everybody, start your marketing campaign for the holiday season now. You know, that Thanksgiving and Christmas, there are going to be mother-in-laws coming to dinner. And you know, this is the time to start making those calls to get people to fix their water and get their water taken care of before family comes over. I mean, the last thing a son-in-law wants is to hear the mother-in-law complain about how bad the water is. Okay, you can, I mean, I don't have a mother-in-law anymore, and I'm okay with that because the difference between in-laws and outlaws are that outlaws are wanted. But my old joke, as some of my friends would say, dad joke, but, you know, this is a great time to start preparing, you know, to get people thinking about fixing the water before they have family coming in. maybe even investing in a reverse osmosis system or a drinking water system as a holiday gift, you know. So start that marketing campaign now. But we're also starting to take a look at the home show schedules for, you know, you tend to start getting a lot of home and garden shows, believe it or not, at the end of January and February. And now's a great time to take a look at that schedule, start planning for those as well. And a lot of times you can get the early bird specials, you save literally hundreds of dollars by signing up for those things now. But this client that we have just signed up for a pet show, okay, and I thought, what a great idea to sign up for this pet show, because these are, first off, there's not going to be any other water treatment people there, you know. I mean, that's not the type of place that, so you're not going to go to like a home show where there's six of your competitors in there and people are coming in, but people are kind of crazy and nuts about their pets sometimes. And I mean, they're family members, and to get them thinking about the drinking water for their pets, I think it's a great idea. I'm really excited and kind of curious to see how that's going to go, you know, and so I encourage everybody to take a look at not only the home shows, the spring home and garden shows, or the typical types of shows that we do, but start to think a little bit outside of the box and think about some of the shows that are water related, where people would be interested in that water. So we'll, you know, in the future report back on that, if necessary. Does anybody else have anything else they want to add or comment on that before I start talking to Sam here? So Sam Tyler is one of those individuals that has kind of followed MotoVitality for a long time. He's been a long time MotoVitality member and somebody that has just been supportive of what we do and of us, and I've been very happy to serve him. Sam reached out about a year ago and said that he wanted to create a forum online using Facebook where people could get together and post pictures of installs and of, you know, post questions and just it's sort of like the MV Pro call, except available all the time, where people could just get on and have a discussion. And I love the idea. For those of you that have heard me say this before, this will sound familiar, but you know, when I first came in the industry 21 years ago, Water Technology Magazine had an online bulletin board that was very similar. It was very rudimentary. I mean, it's 21 years ago, and the technology was not what it is today. We didn't have the social media platforms that we have today. But for the first year or so that I was involved in the industry, I was on that thing all the time. I mean, there were some very key, obviously really smart guys on that bulletin board, and I would just go and read it. And I was so impressed by the people that had their, in fact, I can tell you that's one of the things that inspired me to get my certification, because I would see people like Gary Schreiber, who he had CWS6 after his name, you know, all these certifications. And I thought, these are the people I need to learn from. These are the people that I need to, you know, and I would mostly just observe. Periodically, I would ask a question and sit back and let all the smart people just come like answer it, and I would just learn from it. And it was pretty cool to slowly, as I participated in that, to slowly realize that I knew some of the answers, you know, that, and when new people came into the bulletin board, it was, I was able to jump in and participate in helping them. And so when Sam last year approached this idea, wanted to create this Facebook group, I know I've seen other people try and do that, and I've seen a lot of them peter out because there's just no participation, there's no activity, there's no, you know, you look at it and there's just no conversation. Over the course of the last year, I have seen Sam's Facebook group expand. It's Water Treatment Pros. I've seen that expand from about 5 people when we started it to now, I think, over 250 people. Sam, let's start with a little bit. You know, you're the guest speaker here, so I'm gonna, you know, shut up and let you talk a little bit. But let's, I mean, you can actually, you know, who are you with? What is your company, and what inspired you to get this thing started? And talk a little bit about your experience and what you've seen over the course of the last year as you put it together.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we own Tyler Well and Pump Incorporated out of Carver, Massachusetts, and I have been doing, I've been in the well business and water treatment business for going on 19 years, so, and I've been doing it for almost 26. So, yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank both you Jen and Kelly, for having me on and, you know, helping me out with the group, because you guys have been, you know, inviting a lot of members, and I think it's great that, you know, I have that resource and support from you guys. But I really just wanted to create a group for, you know, mainly, you know, light commercial and residential water treatment guys to come on, share their thoughts and experience, post photos of installations they did, and, you know, start, you know, conversations about different things with the water treatment and the do's and don'ts, and why people do things a certain way and not another. You know, people will do something differently in one part of the country than the other because the water chemistries are different. So it's good to have a forum where you can create these conversations. And back to what you were talking about with the Water Tech Online, you know, it's funny because ditto everything that you said. When I got into water treatment, I was sort of working with a guy part-time when I started my business, doing some water treatment on the side with him. And the guy had experience. He had knowledge. He didn't want to share all the knowledge with me because, of course, I was sort of his competition. So I needed another resource, and I did not know where to go to get it. I had a hard time finding out all these answers to questions that I had. So I found Water Tech Online, and I'm telling you, man, it was such an awesome resource. I just couldn't believe, like, the things I was seeing, the conversations that people were having about, you know, water treatment installations and, you know, all that stuff. So that's what really introduced me to the WQA too, because I saw this title after their names, you know, the CWS1 or CWS6. And I thought to myself, what is that? What is that all about? And I found out that it was through the WQA, and they actually had an educational program where you could get certified. And, you know, from there, it's just, I mean, the WQA has done so much for me, but because of Water Tech Online, I got introduced to the industry in a way that I could be educated. And that's the key to all of this. That's the key to everybody's success in the water treatment industry, is to get educated, but having a resource for it. And, I mean, bottom line, that's what the WQA is for. So I also wanted to start some kind of forum to sort of keep it going and give people a resource. You know, it's important to have that resource where people can come together and, like I said, just talk about different things in the industry. So,
you know, the one thing I remember about Water Tech Online was they really discouraged, and I, you know, I sort of built the MV Pro, this call, around that same concept, and I don't think that thing is around anymore. You know,
it's unfortunate.
And so, but one of the things that I always appreciated was that they really policed it, monitored the, you know, people going in and trashing other technologies,
right,
or really self-promoting their own company or product. You know, and Facebook is a little different because people are posting a lot of times as their company. They're certainly putting pictures of their equipment, which identifies the company they're with and stuff like that. How have you, I've seen the respect amongst the people and the discussions on this Facebook group that you put together. And so how have you created that or monitored that, or have you run across an issue, and have you thought about what you'd do if you did run across an issue? You know, what are your, what are your thoughts on that?
So, you know, I definitely discourage any kind of, you know, I don't want people to, you know, be disrespectful with certain things that are put up. You know, it's all about constructive criticism. You know, if somebody put something up where someone doesn't think it was installed right or something like that, I encourage people to help them, you know, and not bash them. You know, we don't knock people down. We try to build them up, right? So, you know, there was one post of somebody putting in a UV system, and it, unfortunately, it was installed backwards, you know, and somebody put up a picture of that, and nobody really bashed the guy. Someone just pointed out, hey, you might want to double-check that because it looks like it was installed backwards. And then I gave that individual some resources to, you know, a company that does UV, and they have a good you know, resource page for the education part of it. So, you know, we steered them towards that. But I definitely discourage any kind of, like, bashing. Also, you know, advertising. You know, there's been a couple times where big companies have done some advertising on the page, and I've simply took it down because I just don't want that. I don't want it to be a commercial.
Yeah.
I want it to be a resource for education specifically. So, yeah, I sort of police it, you know, and of course I'm super busy. I, you know,
yeah,
I do a lot of water treatment during the day, so I try to keep an eye on the page, but there really hasn't, everybody's been pretty respectful of each other, so I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you hope, you know, what is your goal? Where would you like to see it go? And you know, and we have a lot of people on the call today. There's a lot of people joining us. So let's, you know, what suggestions or advice would you give, you know, related to this? But also, you've got 26 years of experience. So so this is a good time for you. Some of the people on this call have varying levels of experience. So, you know, I guess I'd like to ask for your advice or feedback to some of the other people listening on this call. You know, with, you got a lot of experience there. I mean, you are from Massachusetts, but New England, where, you know, but I think you still probably have some good things to say.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying, so good. I don't know. I don't even know where that came from. I had to throw in this. I felt like maybe I was just complimenting you way too much. I just had to throw something in there just to let you know that I am still a jerk, okay?
you come to New England.
Not all thoughts are those of motive vitality, only solely Kelly Thompson.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
You fly to Logan Airport from California, you'll definitely immediately notice that there's a little bit of a chip on people's shoulders, okay? And I think it has to do with the weather, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the Patriots. But, oh, wait, you're talking to people on that are already in Boston that have a chip on their shoulders. But anyway, go ahead. Water treatment.
My experience, you know, coming up in the industry and not knowing what was out there and pretty much discovering on my own the resource for education, I just encourage people to, you know, try to reach out as much as possible to what's out there. My water treatment page on Facebook is great. WQA is great. And, you know, it's just you got to keep looking and always keep learning. I tell everybody, the minute that you think that you're the best at what you do is the minute you stop learning, bottom line. There's always something new to learn, especially in this industry. So you always got to keep an open mind and just keep learning. And you know, the more you study, the better you get at it. And you know, it reflects on what you do with your company or the company that you work for. And that's my advice.
Just yeah.
Keep at it.
What questions? I want to open it up and see if anybody has any questions, because you do well drilling as well. And you know, and I think that you, that brings kind of a really awesome perspective to, I'm going to ask your opinion on something just for education, since you do well drilling, and we'll put it out there and make this kind of an educational call.
Right.
What, in your opinion, is the difference, benefit or difference between a plastic screen and a stainless steel screen, or you know, the different types of screens for a submersible well?
So plastic screens, you do have some pressure that's coming in and out of that screen when that pump turns on. It's not a lot of pressure, but the flow alone can cause the screen to flex back and forth as the water's entering it. So, you know, in over time, the slots in the screen can open up. So, you know, the stainless screens are mainly, that's where you're going to see mostly out in the field. I used to install monitoring wells. I worked for a geotechnical company for almost like 2.5 years. And we would mainly just put in plastic screens for monitoring wells, where you're just sampling, you know, maybe a few times out of the year. But the stainless steel screens, they definitely hold up much better than plastic well screens. Most of them are D-wire screens, and it prevents bridging a lot of times. And any kind of well screen over time is going to get plugged up, especially if there's a high amount of iron in the water. But yeah. Most of the time, it's a stainless screen that's installed for residential applications.
Do you say, 'cause I have run across some wells out there that were drilled. Is that just so everybody understands, some of you may not understand. Maybe Sam, you can, let's go to the basics and explain what a screen does. I asked the question, some people may not understand what that's actually doing.
Yeah. So the well screen, basically allows the water in, but keeps the sediment out. And a properly developed water well won't produce sand. When a well gets put in, a well screen gets put in, there's a lot of different size materials that the composition of the material is like a mix of fine sand, coarse sand. And when the well gets developed, you're removing all the fine sand, and you essentially sort of have like a pack of granular sand around the screen after it's developed. So it basically keeps the sand out, but allows the water to come in.
Yeah. Just like a strainer. I mean, So sometimes when you see a lot of debris or sediment, you see a well producing that's sometimes an indication there might be a problem with that well screen down in the well, right?
Right. Could be an opening. One of the slots could have opened up a bit, and, sometimes if it's like a 2-inch well with steel pipe going down into the aquifer, there could be a joint that's opened up a bit and it's allowing sand to come in. So it's definitely an indication something's not set up right.
Yeah. I saw one time way, way early on, and some of the things that I saw way early on, and I wish I had pictures of them, you know, that I could share with people, but you know, I'm interested kind of from your well drilling experience on chlorinating a well. I saw one time a customer that had a ton of iron and manganese in their water, and they were chlorinating their well frequently, sometimes a couple times a year. And it had, this well screen had been pulled, and it had created a solid, I mean, it was like flat and solid around the outside of this well screen. It had oxidized that stuff so much that it had literally just put like a pipe around the outside of the screen. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. I have. Well, you know, pulling out old well screens is definitely, especially if there's a lot of iron in the water, you definitely see like a cake on the outside of the screen of iron. But yeah, you know, the thing is about chlorinating a well, we get calls from a lot of people that they'll tell us that they've been advised to chlorinate their well every 4 months or so, and it's definitely not advisable to do that.
Well, what advice would you give in regards to chlorinating a well?
Only chlorinate the well if it has to be chlorinated. if you test the water and you have a hit for coliform, that's when you chlorinate the well. Bottom line, there's no other reason, in my opinion, to chlorinate a well unless it's contaminated with coliform. Because the minute you open up that well cap, that's when you're going to introduce contaminants to that well. So
is it still, I know the Water Quality Association used to recommend, I think it was every 3 years, and I think that was an EPA recommendation.
Right. Agreed.
So they, you know, so every, you know, just to make sure that it's there, or that it's not there. But you're suggesting that it doesn't necessarily need to be that often. If somebody did do it, Is there a strategy or a technique you'd recommend that they use or avoid?
Well, I mean, the reason why I say don't do it is because it's what I suggest is that you have your water tested at least for bacteria coliform every 2 years.
Yeah.
And if it pops up, chlorinate your well. But the way that coliform is going to enter the well, most of the time we find it's a bad well cap. It's either an unsanitary well cap or it's a broken well cap. So
yeah,
my opinion on that, of course, is to chlorinate the well properly. You got to get the right solution in the well. You got to chlorinate the plumbing in the house. You got to recirculate the chlorinated water back down the well so you coat the inside of the well casing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, let it sit. We say a minimum of 10 to 15 hours, and then flush and retest. But
So just a point with mentioning the WQA and EPA is that sometimes the people that make the rules on that stuff don't always, you know, they write. I've seen that a lot in the industry. I'm sure you have too. It's that sometimes they put these recommendations out there, and they're vague, and they're not. They can sometimes create more problems than what they solve. So I think it's really a great idea. And this is where, going back to the water treatment pros, where, you know, the post, I think it'd be really interesting to post that question out there, because there's no black and white. All of you on this call or that have been doing this industry for a long time know that there's no black and white answer. It's so dependent
right.
on where you're at in the country and what challenges you're going to run into. So there's not always a right answer, but getting these different opinions and at least making sure if you're going to do it right and cautiously, you know? So,
absolutely.
You know, I will give a piece of advice that I have never seen in anywhere in any book. And I think it really should be is, you know, cause when I first came in the industry, everybody said, oh, it's so easy to chlorinate your well. You just dump a couple gallons of bleach down the well cap and bring a water hose back out and recirculate it down in there. And I can tell you, you know, very simple little rule, except that nobody ever told me not to use scented bleach. I mean, I had 1 gallon of regular bleach and I had this gallon of floral scented bleach and I poured it down there and ran the water out. You know, it takes a long time to get that out of when you begin to run the pipes. Takes a really long time to get all that bleach out, and it smelled. My house smelled like, you know, that orange stuff when you were kids and Johnny threw up, and they put that little orange powder stuff on at the elementary school. That's what my house smelled like for like a week. It was so bad. That's advice that needs to be put in the book somewhere. Don't use floral scented bleach.
Right.
It is so bad. What's that?
Just regular bleach, and now you really got to look at the labels, because there's now bleach out there that has like a splash guard on it, and it's splash guard, you know, ingredient. So you want to avoid that and just go with straight bleach.
Yeah, what would be the damage of that? I mean, why would the splash guard? Why would they? That's not going to oxidize or kill the bacteria, right?
It's oil based.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that ingredient is. But bottom line, you don't need to put that in your groundwater.
Right? Yeah, you know? Oil based.
Well, I thought it was just a container. I didn't know it had anything to do with the chemistry of the bleach itself.
It's
So some of them can be oil-based or they can be like a glycerin-based. It's a thicker bleach. It's not thin. It's kind of like pouring maple syrup, but clear maple syrup.
Yeah. Yeah, it has
interesting. Well, so the thing
bleach,
to keep in mind is bleach is, well, bleach is only, common household bleach is usually only 4% bleach anyway, 4% chlorine, you know, so, I mean, it's mostly water anyway, you know, that's why if you, I mean, it's still pretty potent, but it's really powerful stuff, you know, it's the pellets are, what are they, I mean, so you've got the really concentrated bleach that I think is 26% or, and then the pellets I think are 70%, and which is why you don't stick your nose in a container of pellets and take a big whiff. Yeah, that's, not good. Poisonous gas. Very, very bad.
Clean out your nostrils pretty quick.
Yeah. Sam, any final thoughts? We have like 1 minute, or anybody else on the call, any final comments or thoughts for Sam?
Go ahead, Greg. I was just asking, I've had customers ask if they could use the pool tablets to chlorinate their well. I've always advised against it because I didn't know. But I thought I'd ask.
I don't know much about the pool tablets. I just know we usually use the pellets. The trade name I think is Chloropel, and you know a pellet, especially the tablets are big. They're what, the size of like hockey pucks, right? So if you drop that down,
a lot of times
you can probably get caught in a wire guide and it won't even reach the bottom of the well. So it's definitely advisable to use the pellets. They're much smaller, and they'll have a tendency to get more towards the bottom of the well. So,
see, I think, again, this reminds me, I think we need an entire call on well drilling. On wells and well maintenance. We run into this. This is something we've got to definitely put on the call. Sam, the Facebook group is Water Treatment Pros. It is by invite. If anybody is interested, then how do they reach out to you? And of course they can reach out to me too, but how do they get in touch with you if they have any follow-up conversations or questions?
Well, you can go on our website. It's tylerwellandpump.com, and there's an email set up there. Or, you know, if you want to join the group, just go on Facebook. It's Water Treatment Pros. And, thank you for everybody for joining. It's been great.
Hey guys,
so I just looked, 238 members. It looks like so.
Yeah. Hey guys,
so,
I've got a bottle.
Go ahead, Stacy.
I got a bottle of molasses bleach in front of me. It says it contains sodium hypochlorite and sodium hydroxide.
Yeah, those are the two things I think that are in regular bleach.
Yeah. To keep it from splashing, but it is thicker than normal bleach.
Yeah, interesting. Sam, thank you very much. Thank you everybody else for coming on the call. Please be safe, and we'll talk to you next week, if not before. So be safe, everybody. Thanks, Sam. You're awesome. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. See you guys.